the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson here in Knoxville, and from his palatial retreat in Tampa, Florida, it is Vince Ferrara joining us through the magic of satellite television. I have no idea why I went down that path, but anyhow, I'm just rambling. But we have made it to the fourth hour of Sports Talk. We look forward to being joined by Knoxville native, now pitching, former Major League pitcher, and Chad Bell, now pitching in Korea. He's in his second season in Korea. He's going to join us here in about 10 minutes or so. It's about 6:06 here in Knoxville. It is 7:06 in the morning in Korea. So we'll tell him ahead of time. Spoilers, we don't want to know what happens overnight tonight and into the morning. But Vince, are you ready for the sports picks at 6 as we have an actual prize to give away?
Yeah, I'm excited about this. This is awesome.
So tell folks what's up for grabs.
A $25 gift card to Fairways and Greens.
All you have to do is be the first caller with the correct answer to this question, and we will share something that I think is really cool that if you didn't hear news and notes at the start of the program, ESPNU Friday night is going to show an hour-long documentary that celebrates the life and legacy of Johnny Majors. It's called Johnny Majors Straight Ahead. That will air 8 o'clock Friday night on ESPNU. It'll be part of a five-hour block of John Majors coverage, as you will have at 6 o'clock Tennessee and Virginia in the Sugar Bowl, followed by Pittsburgh and Georgia, or Pitt and Georgia, when the Panthers were led to the national championship by Coach Majors. That will air from, 9 until 11. So it'll be a five-hour Johnny Majors block. So the question is in regards to that Tennessee Sugar Bowl win over Virginia. There was a Tennessee Vol that had two touchdowns. There was a Tennessee Vol that had two interceptions. Tell us who they were. What Tennessee Vol had two touchdowns scored in the bowl win against Virginia in the Sugar Bowl? And what Vol had two interceptions in Tennessee's victory over the Cavaliers? To give us your guess, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. And let's start with Michael, who joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Michael.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well. And yourself?
I'm good. Just to clarify, is it two different people or the
yes,
same
it is.
Person?
No, it is two different
okay.
people.
Oh, gosh. I barely remember that with my age and everything. Was it Andy Kelly and Tony Thompson?
Well, actually, you are half right.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, fellas.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. Are you still with us? We lost him. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give you another shot at it. We are looking for one offensive player and one defensive player.
Oh, okay.
So I thought you might have misunderstood the question with your answer, so I thought I would give you another shot. So you
Tony
are
Thompson
half right.
And Dale Carter?
Well, shoot, there you go. It's one and done. That's exactly right.
I was just a kid, but I remember him like diving over the top of the pile.
It was just an outstanding performance by Tennessee as they scored a Sugar Bowl record 20 points in the fourth quarter to erase a 16-3 deficit. They get the win 23-22, and so it was the second touchdown of the game by Tony Thompson gave Tennessee the lead, and then Dale Carter's second interception sealed the victory as it threw a wet blanket on Virginia's hopes for a rally. But, Michael, you are our winner. Vince, tell him what he's won.
Michael, $25 gift card to Fairways and Greens is yours. Good job.
Awesome.
Way to go. So be sure and hang on the line so we can get your prize information, and that takes care of the sports picks at 6. We'll have another challenging trivia question for you tomorrow, but we'll get a break. When we return, we look forward to being joined by Knoxville's own Chad Bell, pitching now in Korea. This is Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
When special guests call in to 99.1 The Sports Animal, you hear them on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, stanleyfence.com.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson, Vince Ferrara, pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams, and it's a long reach for the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. In fact, as we talk to you at just now 6:16 Eastern Time in Knoxville, Tennessee, joining us from Korea, where it is 7:16 tomorrow morning, is Knoxville native, former South Doyle Cherokee, former Walters State Community College Senator, former Texas Ranger draftee, former Tennessee signee, all of that, former Detroit Tiger, former Atlanta Brave, and now with the Hanwha Eagles, Chad Bell. Chad, how are you?
Doing good, John. How are you doing?
Doing quite well. Thank you so much for getting up in the morning to join us on Sports Talk this evening.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a problem. Been looking forward to it. How's East Tennessee?
Oh, well, we've had to work through some storms, but happy to say big thumbs up, I think, when all is said and done. How are things in Korea this morning? Is the day off to a good start?
Going well. We got rained out last night. They just, being July 1st today here, they just stopped doing double headers for the next 2 months due to, it's normally when it's pretty hot over here. So, no makeup game for that one until September. So, we'll be back at it today, hopefully.
Well, best of luck, and I'm just wondering, what has it been like to kind of have the world spotlight on Korean baseball with the fact that it was your league that was one of the first to be back in action on the globe?
Yeah, it's been really good. I mean, it's been something that the league's been looking for a long time. They've been looking for that, that attention, I guess, and it's a great league. Hopefully, here pretty soon, we're looking forward to some fans getting back in the stands. I think that'll be really good for the people that are getting up to watch it, you know, in the States, to see that atmosphere, because that's something that really stands out over here, is just the passion that the fans have and how entertaining the games are. Be good for the players, too, just to see the see all of them back in the stands.
Well, there's so much to talk about, but why don't we start first with how this is your second year pitching in Korea, and I'm wondering, how did this opportunity come about for you?
So my last season was with the Braves in 2018. I finished up in Gwinnett there. I was only up for a day with the Braves earlier that year. I think I was up for about 2 weeks with Detroit. And I got taken off the roster with the Braves, so I was going to be a free agent that offseason. A buddy of mine, Jared Hoying, is actually playing over here for the Hanwha Eagles. And I talked to him about it a little bit and just happened to happened to get a call from them in the offseason. I mean, they scout majority AAA and big league level, just trying to obviously see those guys that are kind of going up and down that might be free agents in the off season, and that's who they're kind of targeting. And I was fortunate; I got an opportunity with them last year, and figured I'd give it a shot. And last year had a pretty good year, so then obviously got back over here this year. Started off injured once we got back over here from the virus, so I really didn't pitch for about 2 months from the end of spring training on to my first game. I've thrown 6 or 7 times since, just starting to get back in the swing of things. So,
how much of an adjustment was it, just getting used to the competition, the venues. What was it like your first year in Korea?
The main thing that stands out and the first thing I tell people when they ask about being over here is the fans. They're standing up. It could be, if you didn't look at the scoreboard, you wouldn't have any idea what the score is because they stand up the whole time. They're there the whole game. It doesn't matter if they're losing by 10 or up by 10. So that's one of the best parts. I mean, the passion they show during the game, it always keeps you entertained. And I think that from a competitive level, there's a lot of good ball players over here. I mean, the hitting, for one, it's usually been known as a hitter's league. A lot of guys that are just really good at putting the bat on the ball. There's not many swings and misses. You got your guys that are just your typical power hitters, but for the most part in the lineup, they got so many guys that are capable of going up there and seeing 7, 8, 9 pitches in a bat. So, you really got to execute pitches. But been known as the hitter's league for a while, and they got some really, really good hitters.
Now, is the equipment the same? Because as we've known about Japanese baseball for as long as we have, that it's a smaller ball, a more tightly wound ball. The venues, the fences aren't as deep. Where is Korean baseball? Is it more similar to a Japanese league or to American baseball?
I would say that it's probably right in the middle there. I think the fences, I think center field might be a little shorter on most parts. The line, going down the lines are probably pretty similar to being in the States. Everything's in meters, so I'm trying to convert it in my head. the ball, I haven't really noticed anything different in the ball. They changed them last year over here, and they actually felt a little different, but it wasn't like a size or a weight thing. I think they just kind of changed the seams a little bit or something, and then home runs went down a lot, so I think they were, maybe they weren't too thrilled about that. I think they changed them back again this year or mixed them up a little bit or something because they're back up to normal this year. I think from the field standpoint, the ball's exactly the same from what I can tell. I definitely can't feel a difference. But field might be a little smaller to center field, and that's about it.
What was communication like? For instance, we've seen a number of players make their way to the United States and play in Major League Baseball, and you can see folks that everywhere they go, they have an interpreter with them. What's communication like with your teammates and manager and coaches? Do you have an interpreter? How does that work?
Yeah. So I do. There's three foreign players on every team, and for every team right now, that's one position player and two pitchers. They have the option to have two position players and one pitcher if they'd like, but right now no team has that. So the two pitchers on my team, we share one translator, and then the position player has a translator himself. They're with us through everything at the field. Off the field is definitely the biggest issue. We have access to them and can talk to them anytime we need to. But that's definitely the biggest barrier, I would say, when you first get here. You start to learn a few things, and you can definitely get around. But at the field, they basically follow you everywhere. They do your mound visits, do your meetings, do your, interviews. So they're right there with you the whole time.
My goodness, that must take a lot of getting used to have, I guess, four people for a mound visit with you, either pitching coach and manager and catcher, along with interpreter.
Right, and they take a little longer, too. So you don't really get as much. They set you on the timer. You get a 30-second mound visit, and that's up after the pitching coach makes about two statements, and it gets around to you, and you send something back to him. So they don't seem to last very long.
You talk about the atmosphere just being crazy and off the charts when the fans are in the stands. What's it like, and does it take much being on the mound to get used to what are just epic bat flips that that seem to permeate Korean baseball?
Yeah, I mean, it's entertaining. I mean, obviously, I hope I don't see too many of them. It is what it is. A lot of people always say, you know, you don't get mad or whatever. And I was like, heck, man, if I throw a pitch and the guy hits it that far, he can let him do whatever he wants. It is funny. You see people do it on doubles. They barrel up a ball in the gap to left center field and bat flip it halfway down the third baseline and run for a double. It's funny. I mean, they love the game over here. I mean, it's something they've grown up doing their whole life, and but it is very, very entertaining.
Chad, what's your favorite part of the fanless presentation there in the Korean League? They've got cutouts of fans, and they've got cheerleaders, and well, what's your favorite part of that replacing the fans?
I think every team's done a pretty good job doing something. They've been very creative with it, doing the best with the situation that they've been given. Our stadium right now is doing all the stuffed animals. So the whole back behind home plate's loaded down with teddy bears and SpongeBob. But we got that, and then you got NC, who, everybody's been saying NC's getting a lot of fans from North Carolina just because NC. So they've got all these things about all the minor league teams in North Carolina. They got Asheville, Hickory, Down East, Durham. They've got cutouts of all their mascots, and I think they've even got some, they got fans from all over. ESPN analyst cut out. I mean, everybody's doing pretty good with what they got. I think we've done pretty well with the stuffed animals. I think it's been from what I've seen at least, a lot of people have enjoyed that. But hopefully, like I said, it's never going to take the place of the true atmosphere over here. And hopefully, I think we're looking at maybe this weekend. So hopefully that gets started.
What are the intricacies of the different ballparks in the league that stand out to you that, you know, maybe for some might be a little bit different from what you see in the States? Talk about some of those ballparks.
Well, here, most of them, capacity-wise, most of them are all smaller than what we're used to. I mean, they're probably more on the scale of a AAA field. But once they're filled up, you definitely wouldn't know it. I mean, you'd think they're the same capacity as big league stadiums, but they got these kids. They got kid zones in them. Kids can go play in these huge indoor play areas. They got all kinds of restaurants, and it's so fan friendly. The fans can, you know, on a normal year, the fans can come in, watch the game. They can go out to the street, get whatever food they got on the street, whatever drinks they have on the street, and they can bring them back in the stadium. So they can just leave anytime they want, go get some food from down the road and come back and bring it in and watch the game. So the environment's so fan-friendly that's just I got a couple of buddies over here in the military, and they've came to a couple of games in Seoul. I mean, that's one of their favorite things to do is go to the baseball game, because they can just get out and enjoy the city, go come and go as they please. They're not, you know, if you leave, you can't come back in or whatever, how basically it is in the States. But like I said, man, it's such a fun environment. That's probably been the biggest, that's what I've been asked a lot too, is what's the biggest, you know, or what's your least memorable thing from being over here? And that's it. It's the fans not being here this year. Because that's the absolute biggest thing when I tell people about my time over here is how much of a special atmosphere it is.
Our guest is Chad Bell. Chad, can you hang with us through a break?
Yeah, yeah.
Wonderful. Very much appreciate your time, which for him, it's approaching 7:30 in the morning. Here, it's approaching 6:30 at night. We'll get a break. More with Chad Bell as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson, Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams, and we are pleased to be joined by Chad Bell as we continue the conversation. He joins us from Korea on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Chad, as you made this return, obviously there was a lot going on, still a lot going on in the world in regards to COVID-19, and I'm just wondering, what was the process like? Was it a big concern of yours before you headed over to Korea, and did you have to go through any kind of special quarantine once you arrived from outside the country to get ready for this season?
Yeah, so our spring training this year was actually in Arizona. So we spent February and the first week of March out there. At the end of February was kind of when it was all starting to break out in Korea. Hadn't really got here yet, or it hadn't really got to the States yet, but everybody was talking about how it was going to be something. What it probably was inevitable that it was going to get there and spread to some extent. So our team let us go home when they flew to Korea. My family wasn't coming over right away, so I got to get home and, you know, try to get them as situated as possible while we waited to see what the season was going to hold. And I guess we got there. We were initially going to go with about 2 weeks before the season, and when they gave a two-week notice, kind of fly back and get ready to play. But they were worried about flights and stuff getting canceled, so we ended up coming back. I think it was around March 24th. We flew back over to Korea. And we flew back in early because they were mentioning doing a two-week quarantine for all incoming, all people coming in from anywhere outside the country. So we land a day before they're supposed to do that, and then they change it, and we end up having to do it anyway. So we have to self-isolate in our apartment for 2 weeks. Can't leave at all. We have people dropping off groceries at the door. Weight equipment at the door, anything we can do to try to stay in shape as best as possible for 2 weeks. I'm throwing baseballs and these little rubber baseballs up against a mattress, leaning on the wall, just doing the best I can to keep my arm in shape. So the process was really weird, and that's still going on. I mean, anybody that comes over here has to self-isolate for 2 weeks, and that's the main reason that my family's still in Knoxville. I got three kids and my wife there, and I know one of them, my oldest son, would not be able to handle that 2 week isolation very well because he goes outside at 7 in the morning. But yeah, so that's the reason that they're not here. I mean, it would just be a very difficult travel situation and something that we decided wasn't going to be the best thing to put them through.
In terms of just the day-to-day life when you're away from the park, what are the parameters? I mean, I guess I would imagine folks over there wearing masks and things like that to stay ahead of what could be a second wave?
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody's wearing masks. I don't think that if you're just kind of walking around the street, I mean, you wouldn't necessarily know outside of – I mean, because a lot of times they wear masks here – due to air quality. Mm-hmm. So that's not a huge, you know, it's walking around seeing people wearing masks, getting anything that looks out of the ordinary here. So they, outside of that, you wouldn't really know just walking around the streets. I mean, people are out and about. Seems to be, you know, like we have Costco near us, and so that's a place we go. And, I mean, there's a ton of people in there. I mean, you would never really know that anything was going on. The main things are when you like go into hotels, when we go into the field, we're constantly getting our temperature checked. So, I mean, they check it when you go into the field, they check it when you leave. We haven't had anybody on our team that's had anything high to where they've had to get sent home, but I'm pretty sure procedures basically if you go in and you have a high temperature, I'm pretty sure they just send you back to the hotel for the day. And then I would say you have to go get tested. It's kind of, it's amazing to this point that nobody in the league affiliated as a player or staff member or anything's had it. It's unbelievable.
So Chad, to that point, you talked about doing the temperature check, things like that, those symptoms. Have they done any actual COVID testing? Do you guys get tested at all, or is it just when they find someone that might have some symptoms, then they would test them then?
Yeah, so it's when the symptoms occur. We got tested when I got tested when I first got here, the first full day I was here, after I got into Dijon, which is our city, and stayed one night at the apartment, and the next morning had to go get tested, even though we were doing the isolation no matter what. So I went and tested negative, and still sat 2 weeks in the apartment, because one of the big things is obviously they say 14 days is kind of that time period that symptoms could still pop up or you could still become positive.
Interesting. Who are some of the best players in the league? Give me maybe a hitter and a pitcher that are the standouts in the league from your vantage point, toughest to get out, or or a pitcher that you think is the best in the league right now.
Yeah. So we got a with LG. They got a guy that played in Baltimore, Kim Hyun-soo. Played with Baltimore for a little while, and I think Deho Lee played with Seattle. He's here as well. I mean, two big power guys. Those are, on the veteran side of the league, some guys that really, really stand out. Then there's a 20 or 21-year-old left-handed hitter, Sungbaek Ho. He's with KT. He's going to be pretty special. I mean, he's 20, 21, and he's hitting balls out of the stadium. Just super, super high bat speed. Pretty special talent. He's first baseman. Moved to first base from the outfield. You might see him over in the States in the years to come. He's really special. Pitchers, I guess right now the guy from NC, Koo Chang Mo, he's got the best numbers in the league right now. I mean, he's a left-handed pitcher, hides the ball really well, good slider. He doesn't throw anything, velocity-wise. I mean, he's 88-91 guy, but just kind of really deceptive, hides the ball well. He's 24, 25 years old. He's got some of the – he had an ERA under one for like his first five or six starts. It was very impressive. He just gets a ton of soft contact with the deception that he has hiding the ball. Hitters I could probably go – hitters I could go on for a while. There's a ton of good hitters here. Handful of guys that played in the big leagues and came back and continue to play. Third baseman for KT's Jay Gune. He played a little bit with the Giants. So, there's a lot of talent out there.
Our guest, Chad Bell, as he joins us from Korea. Chad, as I talked about, you're a part of what is a fantastic baseball family in South Doyle High School, whether it's playing for Coach Howard or with you look at all of the incredible guys that have been a part of that program, whether it be Cody Hahn, Bryce Brents, Chad Zerker. You can just go down the list, but you go from there to Walter State, and you had said you were going to come to the University of Tennessee. You'd signed with the Volunteers. But then you get drafted by the Texas Rangers, and so you start your pro career. You get traded to the Detroit Tigers organization, and you got to realize your dream of getting to the major leagues. What was that experience like when you did make it to the show with the Tigers in 2017 as well as part of 2018?
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was really special. It's obviously something that I've worked at for a long time. And like you said, since the South Dole days, I mean, we had that senior class there, we had a load of talent. Really, it was a really, really special group of guys. A lot of them that I still talk to multiple times a week. I think in the off season, I see Chad Zerker almost every day during the week over at UT. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I got up to AAA fairly quickly. I was up in AAA at 22. And then the next spring training at 23 is when I tore my UCL and had Tommy John. So I missed all of that season, 2 months or so of the following season. And I basically went all the way. I was kind of one of those that took a little bit longer to get fully back to 100%. They say 12 to 18 months. I'd say I took close to, 15 or 16 to where I actually really, really felt 100%, which basically took me to the end of the second year. And, I mean, I went all the way back down to A-ball. Went back through low A, back through high A. My first full season back, I was in double A. So, I mean, I went through it all basically two times. And then that second time back in AAA with the Rangers was when I really noticed that everything was I came back and felt 100%, and that's when I got traded about, I guess, a month into the season. So it was a long road. It was obviously not anything like it. I would have been able to write my own plan that it would have been like, but it was well worth it. Even after I got called up, it was like everything was kind of waiting. I got called up on May the 1st, and I didn't even pitch in a game till May the 10th. So I sat there for 10 days in the bullpen.
Wow.
And didn't throw one time. Didn't throw till we were out in Arizona. So my family, my mom, my wife, and we had a newborn son at the time. And, newborn, he was one. But, so they're traveling on a West Coast trip. They come up to Detroit to see if I pitch the first series, and I don't. Then we go to Oakland. So they fly all the way out to Oakland. And I warm up one time, don't get in. And then they travel to Arizona. And on the last day of that series in Arizona, I finally got in. So they had traveled, across the western part of the country there just to wait and see me throw. Got one inning in, and then they flew back home. But it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. Experiences that I'd never, wouldn't change for anything. Made me have to work a little harder going through those tough times and times where I felt like I had to start it all over after injuries and stuff, just made me have to work that much harder to get to the end goal.
And as we've talked about all that's going on around the season that you're competing in now in Korea this season, your second year over there, how is the season going for you?
Well, for me personally, I've had a little bit of a rough start. Like I said, I missed the first 2 months with a forearm strain. Over here, like I said, you get three guys, so you get three foreign guys. So the pressure is you got to be playing. They don't, if they don't not getting anything out of you and you're not playing, then it's basically we'll just replace you. So I got back in about a month, which I probably honestly rushed it a little bit just to get back on the field. And probably honestly didn't feel 100% until probably, 3 outings ago where I was finally able to get up to 100 pitches. I felt like I held my velocity and stamina the whole game. Before that, like I'd hit 60, 70 pitches and kind of hit a wall just because I didn't have any of that arm strength built up. So these last three have been a little better. Basically, in these last three, I'm just struggling in one inning. So hopefully knock those out, and if I can get rid of that one bad inning, it would be it'd be looking pretty good. But I'm getting close. I'm back to 100% finally. And, you know, just got to stay healthy. And we got 100 games left. So, I mean, there's a long season here to turn it around. I got 20 starts left. So the main thing is I'm feeling good now, and just got to keep getting back out there every 5-6 days.
That's good to hear that you're feeling as best as you have. When do you pitch again?
We got rained out last night, so I'll either throw I'll probably find out later this afternoon. I'll either throw Saturday or Sunday in Seoul against Doosan Bears.
All right. Well, go get the Bears. Hey, Chad, thank you much, one, for waking up so early over there to talk with us. Really appreciate the opportunity to catch up. Wish you the very best, and we look forward to catching up with you again in the future.
Yeah, anytime, John. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, thank you. Stay well, be safe, and good luck.
All right, you all too. Stay safe.
Thank you. Thanks, Chad Bell joining us from Korea, where he pitches for the Hanwha Eagles. We'll get a break when we return a final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk as you listen to 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Only one radio station makes your workday a little more manageable.
Only one station is 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara. Why don't we go to the phones where it's Roger who joins us. Hello, Roger.
Hey, John. Hey, John. How you doing tonight, John?
Doing well. It was good to see you last Friday at Oak Ridge Nissan.
Yeah, it's great to see you too, John. It was so good to see you, and see Scott too. It was an honor to meet him. He's a funny guy, John. So it was an honor to meet him. So it was great to see you both. So it's great. So thanks for, man. It's great though. And Vince, hey Vince, how you doing? How you doing, Vince?
I'm doing well. I'm staying healthy, Roger. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm just curious, real quick, Vince. Have you ever met Scott Elkridge Nissan? Have you ever met Scott before?
Oh, yeah. I filled in for John and Jimmy many times when they've been out at Oak Ridge Nissan. So, yeah, Scott's a great guy. Tons of energy. Right, he is funny. Likes to joke with everybody in there, and obviously they do great business over there. So yeah, I have met him many times.
Okay, well, cool. I just want to ask you, Vince. First, is I know football is kind of a question mark for football, according to football season. I know that high football is me kind of delayed. I just want to ask you about football. Vince, about that. What do you think they have to know for us? I know it's kind of iffy for it. I know it's every day's different, but I just want to ask you for football. How do you think it's, when they have to know for is it safe to go to have football this season? If football season, easy football wise, when do you think they have to know for sure if we're going to have it, with the virus being kind of up and down with it?
Well, you're right, Roger. It has been up and down. It's almost day to day or week to week, and how the information is differently. And look, a lot of people view it differently as well. Many people are skeptical of the numbers that are out there and all that. But the bottom line is that what matters is what the schools and if you're talking college football returning, what the schools are getting for the medical experts. So people can doubt what those numbers mean or whatever, but they're getting the numbers from the people that are going to help make their decisions. You can overreact and be skeptical of what you see in the media and say that's false, this is false. That's not what's going to determine college football this year. It's going to be what college football, the presidents, the university and the conferences, what they get from the local administration and what they get from those medical experts, which may not be the same numbers that you necessarily see in the media. So that being said, Roger, I'm not overreacting right now. I'm letting this play out. It's going to change more than likely. Let's see. Everyone wants to say there's no way there's going to be a season, and there's no way this, and there's no way that. Well, none of this that we used to think, none of this would happen the way it was. So there's still some time to where you don't have to make all those decisions just yet for college football. I think they're going to probably need to make some decisions in July. So, yes, it's getting closer to making some decisions, whether it's canceling early season games or whatever. But I don't think it's panic time to say cancel, 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 or absolutely we're going to be absolutely play. I still think we need to have this wait and see time in going into July.
You're right. So we have to see what happens. And John, I want to ask you, John. I heard Jesse say earlier that it's going to be with the delay with the mayor today saying today that it's going to be a delay. I just want to ask you, John, about I know that how much that is going to affect. The player four is not playing. I know he's playing in August, and now it's going to be a delay. How much think it's going to affect the player four? Have to wait longer? You think, John? For is I know it's everything changes every day. It's really I'm just curious about you, John, about it because I know that people cover it too. So how do you think it's going to affect the player and everything, John? You think, John? You think?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And, Roger, we sure do appreciate the call. Hope you have a great night. So stay safe out there. Vince, there's still a lot to be learned, but I don't think there's any question. I mean, when you look at the emergency order that's in place now and has been extended through the end of August, it's not as though you could just say, we're going to start playing now. I mean, you would need a couple of weeks of practice to get ready for the start of a season. So you're not just looking about wiping out the first 2 weeks of the season. You're either pushing back the season or perhaps having to push back the remainder of the season. There's still so much to be seen in these last 10 seconds of the show.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Acclimation period, I think, will be necessary.
That's right. Roger, we appreciate it. Vince, thank you. That does it for Sports Talk.